Thanks for tuning in to PGA Live, a regular podcast from the PGA that covers all things golf. It's not just for PGA members though. This podcast is for anybody who's interested in any aspect of the game. So without further ado, here's today's episode.
Hello everyone, welcome to PGA Live, the podcast. My name's Alex Perry and I will be your host once again as we celebrate the launch of the PGA's Find a Golf Lesson service. In the last episode, we chatted to three PGA pros to get their perspective of what goes on in a golf lesson. Now, we want the other side of the story, so I've gathered three mad keen golfers of varying abilities to discuss their experiences of having golf lessons with a PGA pro. Now, before we get started, I'm just going to throw it out to you three to introduce yourselves with your name and where you're based and your handicap. Sinead, let's start with you.
Yeah, so my name's Sinead. I'm based in Manchester. I'm not a member of a club yet, and my handicap is 36.
And Carl?
Hi, Alex. I'm Carl. I've been playing golf for about 6-7 years. I'm based up in Manchester and a member of Manchester Golf Club. My handicap is currently 7.
And last but not least, Hannah.
Hi, I'm Hannah. I play at Huddersfield Golf Club and I play at +3.
+3, so a lovely range of handicaps there. So, Sinead, I'm going to start with you as the relative newcomer to the game. What made you decide to have golf lessons in the first place?
So there was a couple of factors, I think, really. It was back in September 2019. My partner at the time, he worked in the industry, so he really wanted me to start and he'd take me to the driving range, and it really didn't gel. And then I decided to go with my dad one day. My dad also plays. I hit a couple of good shots and I thought, actually, you know, after years of saying I don't want to play, I'm going to start golf. So I got my dad to actually organise my first lessons because I didn't really know where to look for those. So he was the one that booked me a lesson with the pro at his golf club.
Now, Carl, you say you started out a few years ago. What was the process like back then? And as a single handicap player, are you still having lessons now?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of got into golf through, I work in finance, so got into it through work, really. So I attended a corporate golf day and was pretty horrendous the first time I went out on a very difficult golf course. So decided to go and have some lessons, really. So it kind of stemmed from there and got the bug and got addicted, really. But yeah, I probably don't have as many lessons now. I probably should have more, but tried to self-teach a little bit. Kind of tends to be the same things, but when you go in for a lesson, I seem to need to work on. But yeah, I do still have lessons now and do definitely see the value and the benefit in going for a lesson.
That seems to be the biggest problem with club golfers at the moment, Carl. I mean, a lot of players who play to your sort of standard think, I don't need lessons, I play off 7. But that's just not the case, really, is it?
No, not at all. It tends to be, you know, your bad habits tend to creep back in. Sometimes you just need to be there for someone, you know, properly to film you, to show you what you're doing, to get you back on track. And I'd say 9 times out of 10 when I go for a lesson, it tends to be the fundamentals, the kind of the key things that you kind of need to work on. But it's just so valuable to go and do that, you know, even if it's every couple of months just to go in for a checkup. So yeah, it is something I'll definitely be keeping up through the winter to kind of get lower for next season, really.
Now, I'm fortunate enough to know Hannah relatively well, one of the finest amateur players in this country. She's rolling her eyes at me. Hannah, you're a +3 golfer, as you mentioned. That doesn't mean that you don't need lessons, though, does it?
Mm-hmm. I probably have the most golf lessons of anyone I know. I have, like, two-hour golf lessons a month, so, like, 4 hours a month with my pro. And, like, I just think I'd be terrible at golf if I didn't have golf lessons. Like, I started seeing my pro probably, like, 6 years ago now, and I've gone from, like, 4 to +3, so, yeah. It can make a very big difference.
So the benefits are really clear for you there.
Yeah.
Sinead, how did you go from the process of getting from the from when you first decided you want to have golf lessons to actually getting to the first lesson? So just tell us about that process.
Yeah, well, say for me, like I say, it was my dad was the reason sort of I went and booked a lesson. I wouldn't have known where to go or what to do if it wasn't for him. So he had heard quite a bit about Dave McKinnon, who was the pro at Charlton, and he had said, you know, people really recommend him. So he called up, he booked the lesson for me because I was too scared to do it myself, too scared to pick the phone up. And yeah, he came home and he was like, I've got you a lesson at this time, you know, it's at the golf club. And I think for me, I was quite familiar with that golf club already. I actually had worked there when I was younger in the bar and stuff. So I felt at ease going, but I think if I hadn't known the golf club or known, you know, a couple of people around there, actually I probably would have been a little bit nervous. So yeah, I mean, the first lesson was great as well. I do still always remember that first lesson, and I think from there that's what sort of built the relationship with my pro. So yeah.
How did you feel going into that first lesson? Were you nervous or excited?
A little bit of both. I sometimes think until you sort of have a lesson, well, I think for me especially, until I had a lesson and, you know, started to try build on that, I didn't know if I'd enjoy it or not. I thought maybe it could just be a fad for me, but I found that once I had my first lesson, even though I was a bit nervous and, you know, I thought, oh gosh, what if I do something wrong and like Dave laughs at me, and, you know, I was like, he's gonna think I'm really silly. After that, the nerve sort of went, and actually I almost found it an addiction having golf lessons. Like Hannah says, she has quite a lot of golf lessons. I'm with Hannah on that. When I first started my first year, I was having a golf lesson pretty much once a week, every week. So I had a lot of golf lessons as a beginner before I even got out on a course.
And like you say, it can become an addiction. Hannah, you talked about going from 4 down to plus 3 because you're having so many. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with your pro.
I'm probably in a rare instance where, like, my golf coach is one of, like, my closest friends, which I think is really nice as well. But I think sometimes people want to see, like, the short-term benefits and want, like, to have one lesson and then think they're going to be perfect, and it's not really how it works. Kind of to understand that it's like a long-term process, and having regular lessons will help you change more over time than you expect in like a quick fix in like a few weeks.
Carl, what about you? Tell us about your relationship with your pro.
Yeah, it's similar to Hannah, really. It's quite a good relationship, and the guy I have lessons with now, very good golfer, played on the European Tour for years and years. And the way I got to know him was, again, through work, really. There's a firm that I do some work with that sponsor him. So they basically put me in touch with him. And it's just gone from there, really. He's just a really nice guy, very knowledgeable, keeps it quite basic. As I say, it tends to be more fundamentals for me that we tend to go and work on. But you know, he's just a likable individual, makes the process really easy, really. And you know, you go out, you come away from the lesson really feeling quite motivated, probably hitting the ball a lot better than when you go in, which tends to be the case, and just itching to get out there on the course really and get out there and play.
Was it what you expected? I mean, I know it's been a few years since your first lesson, but when you started out, was the process what you expected, or was it just completely the opposite of what you were thinking going in?
Well, it's hard to, I'm trying to remember now. I mean, the first lesson I had was, I think, just at one of the local driving ranges in Manchester. It probably was. I think, you know, looking back at it now, you know, at the time and where I was at, it was probably fine. It was probably suitable. It was kind of quite a short lesson. Probably similar to Hannah. If I have a lesson now, I probably will try and do a 1 or 2 hour lesson in one go rather than, you know, going in for half an hour, probably have more, a bit of a longer, more detailed lesson and focus on something. But in terms of the process, I mean, yeah, it was literally just a case of, you know, you go to a certain driving range. I think this is the way a lot of people used to do it. If there's a pro at the driving range, then that's who you'd go and have a chat with them and say, look, I've got a problem. I'm doing something really wrong. Can you try and fix me? And go and see the local pro really at the driving range. But yeah, that was pretty much the process that I went through in the first instance.
Sinead, what about you? Are you going down, as these guys say, are you going down for 1-2 hour lessons, or do you prefer the sort of half an hour bite-sized ones?
So it really varies at the moment now. I actually have started to mix my lessons up a little bit. So I still see the pro at my dad's club. That would be either an hour sort of lesson, focusing on maybe my irons or my wedges, but also sometimes a playing lesson out on the course. That's something I introduced this year to really help me sort of get to grips with playing around the course. But I also do an hour and a half group lessons occasionally that are female group lessons, and that was more aimed down sort of the social side of meeting more women that play golf. So it really varies. And, you know, sometimes with those group lessons, actually where it differs a little bit from my individual lessons is that they are built around working on specific areas of the game. So you can really target those. And, you know, if you want to work on your driver one week, it's in the schedule, so you know it's there. But you also get to, you know, meet some good people. So I think there's nothing like a little bit of variety with the lessons to help.
Have you found those group lessons beneficial?
Yeah, I love those group lessons. Even though they're a group lesson and you think in a group lesson, how am I going to get as much attention as I would in an individual lesson? Actually, there's just so much more that goes into it. And it's an hour and a half, you know, it's, I think it's about 10 to 12, up to 10 to 12 women. So it may be less some week. But you do really still get that one-on-one attention that you would get in an individual lesson. And, you know, an hour and a half as well, there's a lot that you can work on in an hour and a half. And often there's stations set up to move through different drills. So I find I come away actually with a lot more drills that I can focus on or different aspects of my game. But also, I mean, meeting other people is nice in those lessons. So I've really enjoyed those.
Carl, when you're out having on-course lessons, do you prefer that or do you prefer to be on the range working on something specific?
It's nice to, personally, I prefer to do a mix of both. It's, you know, you can stand on the range and hit balls. I mean, sometimes it can, you know, you get to a level where you need to understand, you know, a bit more around your decision-making process. You know, you can hit balls into a net and, but it's differently, you know, different things come into play, I think, really, just around your alignment, decision-making, where are you going, taking out the big miss or taking out a big number on your card, really. So I think having on-course lessons is definitely definitely something I'll be doing more of next year as well. I think they help, and it just brings a different dynamic to kind of the teaching process, really. I think they're good.
Hannah, you touched briefly on your sort of longer term improvements that you've had, obviously, since you've been working with your coach. You say you've gone from 4 to +3. What about the more immediate improvements, more directly after a lesson, are you finding?
I think it depends on what you want. Like if I went to see Andrew, who's my coach, Andrew Nicholson, and I said, I've got a tournament next week and my driver's going 20 yards right, he would give me a drill that would fix that straight away. But that might not be the same fix that's going to make it better, like, long-term. But then also I think a lot of people don't have lessons for kind of putting and chipping like that. And I think areas like that are probably things where you see gains straight away more because people haven't had lessons there. It's easier to make big jumps in improvement. And also things like putting. There's a lot of things with putting that you can be very good at without, like, much like skill necessary. Like a lot of it's just about like kind of aiming right and having basic things like done properly. So I think in those areas, which people wouldn't necessarily think to have a lesson from, you can see like quite big gains quickly.
Carl, obviously as someone who is a sort of a mid handicap, or just slightly better than a mid handicapper, how do you feel that a lesson can improve your game?
For me, as I said, it's more about, you know, obviously I want to get as low as possible. Work permitting, unfortunately, gets in the way. But, you know, having lessons for me, it's always, you know, you're just trying to get as low as you can be, you know, playing at the club every week. And it's quite competitive where I play. You know, you just want to play the best you can play. Similar to what Hannah mentioned before, really, I mean, short game is key and massive, really. I mean, there's a lot of players who probably go and see a golf pro because, you know, they're slicing the driver or something's not quite working. When in reality, you could probably knock, for a higher handicapper, you could probably knock 10 shots off your score just by having a short game lesson and making sure you're chipping and putting is a lot better. That's how I managed to drop a load of shots last year, was mainly through short game rather than long game. So for me, it's just about tidying up in all areas, really. But I think having someone with you, kind of on that journey, and kind of giving you, you know, constantly monitoring your progress and watching how you're improving, definitely helps.
So your target is to get down to a lower handicap. It's as simple as that.
Oh, definitely. I've dropped every year for the last 3-4 years. I think, you know, my aim, I need to be 3 or 4 is the aim for next year, which feels achievable to me. You just need to go out there and do it, really. It's just, for me, it's just kind of balancing that work-life balance and just finding the time to get out there and practice and play, but then also getting the structured lessons, really. And the main thing is when you go and have a lesson, it's making sure, you know, you don't have a lesson, go away, and then go and have another lesson. For me, it's about having a lesson and actually, I suppose, going and practicing what you've been taught. There's absolutely no point in having a lesson and then going back 2 weeks later for another lesson. You know, you've got to put in the time either on the range or on the course and get a load of practice in to actually work on what you've been told before you then go back for the next lesson. I've had friends who've done that in the past and they kind of get frustrated, they're not getting any better, but then you say, well, how many balls have you hit or how much practice have you done? And it's kind of negligible. So yeah, you've got to put that time and effort in between the lessons as well, I think, to add value.
Yeah, it's a trap that many golfers fall into. Sinead, I don't want to keep mentioning that you're a beginner, but obviously you're an important subject in this podcast. What, in terms of your long-term goals, what are you expecting to happen, say, maybe next year, year after?
So definitely lower the handicap. I do often get told, people, if I say 36, like, you're not a 36 handicap golfer, but I also have some very big weaknesses in my game that I'm very aware of. And I think, yeah, it sort of echoes what Carl has said there, actually. People sometimes focus on the driver or the longer game, and it's the shorter game that I know is my biggest weakness. And I really do want to hone in on that. My chipping, I am often, you know, sort of very known for flicking my wrists, and I can't get a chip shot up on the course. And it's funny because I can almost do it in a lesson, but when I'm on the course, it's the area I definitely struggle with. So I think there's definitely going to be a lot of short game focus for me. Lowering the handicap, if it was, you know, in the 20s, I'd be happy. But I think also, you know, I am a beginner. Like I said, I'm not a member of a club yet. I would like to get involved in a bit more club golf. I'd like to join somewhere as a member. I already have somewhere in mind that I would like to join. And I think, yeah, really get stuck into that side of it. But again, as Carl said, it's like work-life balance. I have a full-time job. So trying to balance that and get the practice in, especially over winter.
Yeah, I think people sort of forget how important the social side of a golf club is. And obviously having golf lessons and getting the bug, as you have, is really important in getting to that point.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think if it wasn't for having a good golf pro, I actually think I would have struggled to get into golf, as silly as that sounds. Because I remember being 14 and my dad wanted me to start and get me a few lessons, and I didn't get on with the pro, so I just stopped because I didn't like it. So actually, I think that relationship with a golf pro can be really fundamental as a beginner to helping you develop that side within a club as well, you know, because they know the right people to introduce you to, or the people to set you up in a four ball with if they've got any space, so that you can get to know more people.
Yeah, I was exactly the same when my dad wanted me to learn the piano. Hannah, at the exact opposite end of that scale, in terms of your long-term goals, someone who plays in a lot of elite amateur events, like, how do you set your targets differently to club golfers?
Well, I keep like a lot of statistics, so at the end of the season, like, I can go through them with my pro and see like what efforts we need to just help create structure, because I can know, well, I don't need to have like 10 lessons on my irons because I need to have a lesson on this, or like, oh, my bunkers were actually that good this year, so a lot more like specific training stuff off the back of like those facts.
I'm really interested to ask you this question, Hannah. Now, have you ever brought any problems to Andrew or any previous coaches that they just haven't been able to solve?
I don't think so. Like, there's always things that, I think with golf swings, like, everyone has tendencies, like, things that they're always going to kind of do, and it's more about managing them and, like, making them better over time. So if you go somewhere first time, you're not necessarily going to change all of that at once, but, like my coach says, if you can make it, like, 0.1 better each time, then, like, over time, that's going to make a lot of difference. So I think people might not necessarily expect that they're just going to like have the perfect golf swing after seeing a coach once. We've just got to persist with it, and over time, like, you see quite big improvements. That's quite good because my coach uses like V1 analysis. So at the end of each lesson, you get sent like your swings with an explanation over it of what you need to work on. And like you can go back over time and look at them all and like see how much change you've made, which is pretty nice.
Nice for you because you have a lovely swing. Some of us who hate looking at our swings on video, maybe it's slightly different. Carl, what would you say to someone thinking of getting into golf and having a lesson?
I've had people ask me before. I think you very easily and quickly frustrate yourself if you try and get into the game and you probably don't have lessons. Unless you've played as a junior or you've got some sort of natural ability and you've done it before as a youngster. I think when I picked it up, I hadn't really played. I only started in kind of my mid-20s to play. Found it really difficult and frustrating. As soon as you start to have lessons and you start to build that knowledge around just all the key things that you really need to understand, it just makes the game so much more enjoyable. So whenever people say to me, there's a guy who works for me at the minute who, you know, wants to get into it, and the first thing I've said to him is, you know, you just go and get lessons, get taught properly from kind of day one. Otherwise you just fall into loads of bad habits that just make things really difficult to then undo. As Hannah said, you know, to change something in a golf swing, it can take so long to actually change something once it's ingrained and it's in there. So, you know, I think by getting the kind of the fundamentals kind of correct from day one, it just makes the game more enjoyable, more fun, easier to play. You'll shoot better scores. So it's an absolute no brainer for me to tell someone, look, golf is not like other sports. Unfortunately, you kind of need to go and see someone and have lessons and get someone to show you and talk you through it properly so you understand it. And for me, it's really important to know, well, if something is happening, it's then trying to understand, well, why is it doing that? So that when you're practicing after your lesson, you know why you're doing a certain thing as well. So you can kind of self-teach a little bit. If the ball is going in a certain direction, well, why is it doing that? But you need someone like a golf pro to tell you why it's doing that. So yeah, for me, it's really important for people to go and do that.
Sinead, what if one of your friends was saying to you, do you know what, I fancy getting into golf, what would you tell them?
I tell them to go for it for a start. I think, you know, the reason I love golf is it's fantastic for your mental health and your mental well-being. I have a very stressful job, and golf is my escape from that, whether it's a bucket of balls down the driving range after a long day at work or getting out on the course on the weekend in the fresh air with friends. It's brilliant for that. But I think, you know, if anyone was nervous to start, my advice would probably be to go find, if you can see a group lesson locally, or if there's a couple of you that want to start, to go for a group lesson together, because pros will often do that for you. And I think there's nothing like being around a group of people that understands what it's like to be a beginner, to sort of help ease you into it and make you realize everybody started somewhere. And I think that's often something we sometimes forget. Everyone started somewhere with golf. We weren't all sort of born able to hit a golf club straight away. So it does take time and you do have to stick with it, but patience and perseverance pays off.
Yes, the mental health aspect of golf is widely understated, and we can't stress that enough. Hannah, as someone who started out playing when they were a child, how was it different for you?
I think it was probably different because I've always been around golf lessons. Like before I even played, like I'd go and watch like my parents having golf lessons. So like I've never played where I haven't had them. So for me, it's kind of like a no-brainer because I've seen like how much they've helped me, like in a relatively short space of time. So for anyone who started, I would like tell them to get lessons. But I think probably like do some research and make sure you go into a coach that like you're going to get on with and like enjoy like the way they coach. I think definitely like what Sinead said, especially for women, like it's so important to go to like group sessions, because if you go down to the driving range, you might not necessarily see that many women. So go into like a specific group with other women is like a really good way to get involved.
Perfect. A lovely message, and I think we'll leave it there. That feels like a really nice place to end the podcast. Remember, you can find a golf lesson near you by heading to the PGA website, that's pga.info, and using the Find a Golf Lesson service on their homepage. A huge thank you to my guests today, Sinead, Carl and Hannah. And if you have missed any episodes of PGA Live, the podcast, you can find them on your preferred podcast platform, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe via your preferred podcast platform so you never miss an episode. If you have any suggestions for topics or guests, please email pgalive@pga.org.uk.